you everything you need to know about prayer. Thank you. There's a man who knows about prayer. This passage that we just read in the Gospel of Matthew, are probably the verses most referenced as the source of the Lord's Prayer. However, there is a version of this same prayer in the 11th chapter of Luke. There's very little difference in the prayers themselves, though. In the Lucan version, the model prayer comes at the request of his disciples. They say, and I don't know which one said it, but evidently it was more than one, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." What kind of request is that, you think? Now I've got a little bit of reading on this. Do you mean to tell me that after growing up in a Jewish culture, seeing their fathers and probably every other Jewish male they knew stopping to pray some 3 times a day, every day, they didn't know how to pray? Really? How about the intervening time they had spent with Jesus? Had they not at least taken some note of how Jesus prayed? Evidently, there was something else. And I'm trying to understand what they were really trying to get from Jesus about prayer. Did they want some secret formula? Did they want to know the exact right words other than the Jewish prayer they had learned growing up? Did they want to know what to wear? Should they wear a robe? Should they cover their head, uncover their head? Should they wear a prayer shawl? Should they wear those phylacteries tied around their forehead? Did they want to know something about what kind of position should they take? Should they stand? Should they kneel? Should they lay prostrate? Hands up, hands folded, looking up, head bowed, eyes closed, eyes open. How do you do this prayer thing? And we're not even told exactly what they saw John's disciples were doing in their devotional practice. All we know is that Jesus' disciples were looking for something that would make them feel like they were doing it right, or they were getting the right results, or was making them feel like they thought they should be feeling when they pray correctly, whatever that is. I don't know if they got the answer they were looking for from Jesus. Somehow Jesus knew what they meant, I think. But Jesus answered the question, he really answered the question they should have been asking. I'm not talking about just this model prayer. By all means, we should learn the model prayer, but that won't get you any of the things that the disciples were looking for, or for that matter, any believer is looking for their prayers. And if you'll notice, Jesus doesn't immediately respond to their request with the model. They don't say, "Well, Jesus teaches to pray. Okay, say these words." He didn't do that. He first gives some preliminary instructions. He didn't just jump right in. He gave some preliminary instructions. He says, oddly enough, "Don't pray like the hypocrites." Now, I don't know what a hypocrite's prayer is supposed to sound like. I can't really tell the difference, but evidently it's not about the words that the hypocrites were speaking or the position they took or the frequency or the place they prayed. For them, it had everything to do about appearances. The kind of people Jesus was referring to are just trying to get other people to think they are holy and right with God. So, in fact, what Jesus is saying, their prayer, the act of praying, their devotional practice of praying really had not very much to do with God at all. What Jesus is trying to say, prayer is first and foremost an intimate conversation between the one who's praying and Almighty God. It's not about what it looks like to anyone else. It doesn't matter if anyone else knows anything about your prayer. Prayer at its core is to bring one's whole self, just as you are, warts and all, and your whole world into the presence of God. There's no use in being phony. There's no use in coming up with some pretty words. There's no use in anyone knowing when, what, why, or how you were praying. The only way you can mess it up, at least according to Jesus's description, is praying for any other reason than just needing to be in the same space as God. Prayer really is essentially stepping outside of this world, bringing your world with you into the presence of the Almighty, figuratively, if not literally, according to Jesus. Prayer is getting alone with God. No playing around, no pretending, no hiding, no denying, no rationalizing. When you're alone with the one who knows you better than you know you, you can't fake it. You can fake it for everybody else. You can act like you're somebody else. You can try to paint yourself as being holier than thou. That's okay. You can't with God. There's no credit from others for your holiness. You're meeting God face to face. In an intensely personal and unabashedly honest encounter. That's the hypocrite part. The next thing Jesus says, before he talks about the model prayer itself, is don't babble like a bunch of pagans. They think that if they ask God enough, God will have to give them what they want. That's a lot like us, isn't it? I think this comment speaks to, if even slightly obliquely, one of the biggest misunderstandings about the nature of prayer. I think that sometimes we think prayer is us coming to God to try and get what we want. Oh God, this is what I want. And it might be perfectly, perfectly altruistic. It might be a perfectly good thing. Oh God, I pray so and so would get a job. Oh God, I pray that so and so would be made well. It doesn't matter. But for the life of me, I cannot know how to reach that conclusion that God is like some big Santa Claus that we throw up our letters to. And expect God to do what we say. Yes, we are to bring everything to God in prayer. Prayer has never been about trying to badger, cajole, nag God into coming around to our way of thinking. That's a little arrogant. You know, if we just
We can just pray in such a way we can get God to see things like we see it. I'm sure he'd want to do exactly what we want God to do. Right? Goodness gracious, I wouldn't want God to take my advice about anything. If anything, prayer truthfully is about asking God to change our mind, to change our understanding, to change our perceptions. We don't need to, we don't need God. I don't need a God who thinks like I do. We should speak to God about God's greatness and wonder. We should speak of those things in our lives that are troubling, those things that bring us joy, those things with which we struggle, those things for which we need forgiveness, those for whom we are seeking God's intervention, and those things for which we are thankful. Yes, of course, pray about all those things and more, but never forget that prayer is a conversation. God, Jesus says, God already knows what you truly need. You're not saying, surprise, God, I know you didn't know this, but this is what I need. God has all the resources necessary to fulfill those things in your life and spirit that you truly need. We pray because we need to say those things. We need to verbalize them. We need to express our deepest needs to God so that God can respond. Here's the other half of that conversation we're having with God. This may be the hardest part. And that is receiving God's response. It's a little bit like this. For many years as a pastor, there was one phone call that I dreaded. Just some fears. I would hear my office manager announce, Dr. Culler of Myrtle, and this name has been changed to protect the innocent, and not so innocent. Myrtle is on the phone and she needs to talk to you. You know Myrtle, don't you? In truth, Myrtle is a member of every church. And the only thing that changes is her name. But and saying that Myrtle wanted to talk with me is a complete misnomer. What she really wanted to do was not to have a conversation, but to say things at me. Does anyone look forward to that kind of interchange? I don't. Not very nice occasions, when someone has something they simply need to get off their chest. But sometimes it always seems like the same person has the same thing on their chest, and it's only coming at me. Don't you think that God must feel like that sometimes when we pray? I think that's exactly what Christ meant by it. Do not keep on babbling like pagans. They think that they will be heard because of their many words. There is so much wrong with that kind of approach to prayer. Nagging doesn't work in prayer. Now, don't hear me saying something I'm not. God never gets tired of hearing. God is great. Just means that we should check our sincerity from time to time and make sure that we mean what we're saying, that it's really coming from our heart and it's something that's real to us. It also means that if we continue to say the exact same things over and over and over every time we pray, and we don't ever allow an opportunity for God to respond freely, the context of his divine will, then we are no longer having a conversation. We are hurting.
plainly put, again, prayer is not getting what you want from God, but trying to lay hold or catch a glimpse or just a sense of what God wants from you. Prayer is not about getting God to change God's mind, but putting ourselves in a kind of a spiritual position and in a kind of a spiritual mindset so that God can do something with us and change us. Listen, if you're just praying to get God to do something and leave you alone, basically, you need to back that truck up and try praying again. God wants to speak to us. Even though we may not want to hear what God has to say, God has a way of answering the question that we should have asked instead of the one that we do ask. So it's important to be listening with your ears and with your eyes and with your heart for God's response, which I hate to say this is often not the response you are looking for. If we are to hear God's voice, sooner or later, we're going to have to stop talking. That's a lesson I had to learn. It's kind of hard for me because I talk a lot. Please don't ask my wife about this. She will be forced to tell the truth. But, you know, when I'm in a conversation with somebody, and the conversation is going nowhere, I have learned that I can end the conversation. By just shutting up. Stop talking. Just be quiet. We can't hear God if we're always talking, even if it's just praying silently. There's not an opportunity to listen to God, to be influenced by God, if we're always talking. I want to challenge you, as part of your practice of prayer during these days of holy habits, to spend some of your prayer time in silence. And I don't mean just in a quiet environment. And I don't mean to just stop talking about God. I'm speaking about quieting your spirit, getting quiet inside. Try it. Because I'm just telling you, my mind wanders. It's all I can do sometimes to not think of what else is going on. What am I going to do after this prayer time? What time am I supposed to pick up the kids? There's a book I want to read. I wonder what they did when they say pick up the story. Don't I have an ear in your brain? I'm not praying, but I'm not quiet. Get quiet inside. Here's a goal for you. You can do this. I'm still working on it. If you can spend as much time in quiet in your prayer time, simply listening to God, getting still inside, if you can listen the same amount as you spend talking to God, man, that'd be a great objective. Don't you think? That's hard. That may not be where you are in your prayer discipline at this point. There are some days if I can squeeze 30 seconds of just getting my insides to get quiet long enough to maybe hear something God's trying to say. But silence in prayer takes time, it takes practice, it takes repetition, it takes consistency. But prayer is at least as much about listening as it is expressing the deepest needs of God.
chase this rabbit just a little bit, and I know we've run a little bit over, but I'll try to say, do this quickly. When I talk about listening, I'm referring to the many ways that God communicates to us. For sure, God sometimes responds to us in an audible voice. God's never responded to me in an audible voice. I think it's probably rare for most of us. But sometimes God does. God definitely speaks through Scripture. God reveals His truth as we study His Word and as we bathe our Bible study in prayer. God also speaks to us through circumstances. Have you not through some event or experience been made aware of some spiritual truth? You've seen something and went, I never thought of God quite like that. God is still speaking to you, even when you're not listening, but you just may not hear it. I remember some years ago, somewhere about 1929, I'm thinking, I was cutting my grass. I was at a church down in Halifax County. And if you don't know where that is, that's in the deep south side of Virginia. They speak a different language down there. And I was cutting my grass. My next door neighbors had some pets. They had a cocker spaniel who was blind and didn't know where she was most of the time. She would hear my motor running and she would leave the safety of the carport where she spent most of her time and come to my house because she heard a lawnmower and she thought it was her. But when she got there, it wasn't where she thought she was. Now, as I was watching the dog come across the door, I also watched the cat following this dog, their cat. And I watched this for a while. The dog, the cat, would seem to come alongside the dog and kind of direct the dog in a direction. And then the dog would go this way, and the cat would kind of meander the other side and just brush by the dog. The dog would go this way. And then the cat would kind of meander around and brush by the dog, and the dog would go this way. And that cat guided that dog all the way to my carport to say, God spoke to me. God says, sometimes I've never seen a dog see a cat before. But I promise you, that's what I saw. What that says is sometimes just the gentleness of being in the right place at the right time, even if you aren't the right person. I mean, who would have thought? God speaks to us. God speaks to us. Let me wind this thing up. And I'll do this very quickly. One last thing, Jesus has those two things. He talks about the hypocrites and the pagans, then he has the model prayer, and then he finishes up with this statement. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. He'd already said something about forgive your trespasses as those who... He's already said that up in the prayer. Why is he saying this again? I won't tell you why, but he says it. The prayer is not about the words. The prayer is not about getting what you want. The prayer is about submitting yourself for God to do something in you. Prayer is about change. Prayer is about something happening. It's not just some static bunch of words floating around out there. It's not good thoughts. It's not hopes. It's God remaking you because you are in God's presence and you are bringing all of yourself and you are being open and honest. God can do things in you and with you and
change you in such a way that you're not the same person. You're able to forgive. You're able to be forgiven. You're able to have that inculcated into your life as part of who you are. Essentially, prayer is about coming to God and saying, God, I'm not who I want to be, and I'm a good well. I'm not who you want me to be. Help me to be like you want me to be. Help me to be more like Jesus. Help me to see the world and others more like you. Amen. This is our time of worship. We call our time of response. Time of commitment. This is the time when you take the things that we talk about in worship, the things we talk about prayer and all the parts of prayer, and you take that to God and you say, God, what am I supposed to do about this? For some of us, maybe you're here and you never made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. You've never said to another person or even to yourself, I know I need to follow Jesus. I know I need to be forgiven, and I need to be led by Jesus from this day forward. This is time for that. This is the time for that. Perhaps you're here, you've been struggling with your prayer life. Perhaps you're not as close as you want to be, and you've been kind of going to and fro. This is also time for you to recommit yourself that prayer or relationship with God. When the gospel is preached, it always demands a response. How will you respond? We're going to stand together, and we're going to sing our hymnal response. I need you.